This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have advanced technology, interstellar travel. If we capture the aircraft, I ask, where's the evidence of reverse engineering? You say, well, maybe it's being kept secret. Or would we even recognize it? Would it be like handing today's iPhone with its A12 chip and all that stuff to somebody in the 15th century? Or hand it to Christopher Columbus?
Well, you know, as far as reverse engineering, there are a lot of reports out there. Of course, we know Colonel Corso and his claim about fiber optics and night vision and so on.
Well, yeah, that's nonsense because you could trace fiber optics back to Germany in the 1930s.
Right, who also have rumors of having captured craft, by the way. But there is this meteoric rise in technology in the last 100 years, the industrial age, which we can trace most of it, but it is bizarre that it happened so fast and so quickly. We're stuck with these kind of testimonies from whistleblowers, and there's a lot of them. I talked to this gentleman who contacted me from his hospital, and he's like, I want this story out before I die. He was a subcontractor at Edwards Air Force Base in construction. And I was out there one day doing a job. I've written a lot about Edwards Air Force Base, and there's a lot of stories coming from there. This is a firsthand one. And he said he's walking along with his employer across by this warehouse sort of thing, this hangar, and looks in and sees this tiny little 10-foot, looks like a flying saucer, and it's floating right there. And he turns to his employer and says, what's that? And his employer didn't answer, but with his eyes said, don't talk. You know, we can't talk about that because he wasn't supposed to see it. And they walked by it, and the guy I interviewed kept asking him, and his employer refused to answer until about 20 years later when his employer called him up and says, I need you to do a job. And the guy I interviewed says, no, I'm not doing it unless you tell me what I saw 20 years ago. And his employer said, okay, that was from alien technology that we reverse engineered. It's a craft and it uses electromagnetics. And that's all he would say. So I think it does happen.
Well, that's, you know, or it's an urban legend or it's just something that's somebody, I mean, I don't know. I would tend to think that, you know, Gene has a point. If that's the case, we should be seeing a lot more of that technology out in the public by now.
Yes. You know? It's ironic. Here we have the best evidence. Absolutely proof, conclusive alien artifacts. And what is the evidence that we actually have this? Eyewitness testimony.
Maybe a good time to bring, we've got a real, it looks like, you know, maybe skeptical believer on the forum, and he's got some questions here. So let's get those out of the way because, you know, they're kind of dealing with this issue here. And he, one of the questions he asks is, you know, what's your personal beliefs with respect to the phenomena? And I think I'm getting it pretty clear, but what do you really think we're dealing with here? You said interstellar, alien intelligence, biological entities, or can you just describe, like, what do you think we're really dealing with?
Yeah. Oh, I can tell you personally, I get three main types of entity reports. I think we're dealing with people like us, but different, coming from other planets. And there's grays, there's praying mantis, and there's ones that look mostly like us, basically human-looking. There's a catch-all category with, you know, short humanoids, tall whites, so on. Variations of the humanoid form. For whatever reason, that seems to be almost universal. And that's what I think we're dealing with. I think the evidence is out there. It's government documents which show this has been going on for a long time. We've got evidence, ancient aliens. We've got land trace cases. You know, animals reacted to this. There's electromagnetic evidence. There's angel hair cases, which is a substance that's released from UFOs, which we've actually analyzed and got some interesting properties. So there is a lot of evidence. There's, you know, implant evidence. There's the medical evidence where people have been burned or harmed or even healed as a result of this stuff. A lot of circumstantial evidence. And we probably have the craft themselves. So we're blocked. And we're in a situation where it's being blocked. But seems to be a movement towards disclosure.
Right. And I think that answered also question number two, which was, you know, where is in the right here and now the physical evidence or proof of the material existence of UFOs as alien craft, which I think is really how we should be looking at the problem as well. We're not just talking about vague lights off in the distance or UAPs, which is something else I'd like to ask your opinion on. You know, do we really need to change the wording, or should we stick with UFO and go like, no, like the U.S. Air Force couldn't tell us they were alien craft. They concluded they were alien craft, but they had to call them unknowns.
Yeah, I don't like the term UFO. I'm not thrilled with it. UAP, it's not any better. I mean, unidentified aerial phenomena. What does that say? I think at some point we're going to have to decide what we're dealing with here. And if these are craft, then let's call them craft. You know, if these are extraterrestrials, well, ET craft. You know, there's all these words, entity, being. It was a figure, a creature. Creatures kind of, I mean, they're not animals, as far as we know, any more than we are.
Right. Doesn't that just get you, like, when the news comes on and somebody says, oh, they saw a UFO the other night, and then really it was just a sort of vague light off in the distance at night that could have been, you know, an airplane landing or something.
Yeah. UFO is a terrible term. It could mean anything at all from a fire. You know, it's an unidentified object. It could be a bug. We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of the layperson's perspective. But when you get looking at how the U.S. Air Force defined it, it's anything but just something like that. It's, in fact, they define it out so that you can only look at it in terms of something that isn't a natural or man-made object or phenomenon. And so what's left is an alien craft of some kind, but they couldn't say that.
Yeah, at some point, I think the term UFO is here to stay.
Yeah.
We know what it is. It means a UFO, an alien craft.
Exactly.
And I don't have a problem with that. You know, it's not the best, but I think we're stuck with it.
Okay, so question three here. What has MUFON really achieved to date? What is its condition, philosophy now? And what about its future? They've had some crackpot guests on, he says, Derek claims, and I guess I can't disagree with that. What's your view on that?
MUFON, Citizen UFO Groups. The first one was APRO, the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, Jim and Carl Lorenzen, and it went well. They got a lot of members. But they're at some point infiltrated by the CIA. They got proof of it, and it collapsed at some point, as did all the other citizen UFO groups that became very influential. They all have problems. NICAP had a real problem at some point. QFOs. Now, MUFON, the biggest one, it's been very effective, but it never seems to grow too large. Just a few thousand members, you know, 3, 5, 7. It should be much larger. I don't quite understand that. I support MUFON. It's had troubles with its leadership. I think it's probably being closely watched by our government or whoever is controlling, you know, this phenomena, the military complex. So I don't know if MUFON's days are numbered. There's going to be other UFO groups at some point. There is now. There's New Fork. There's all kinds of UFO groups. UFOs are very popular on the internet. But MUFON has a lot of really wonderful people in it. It's still the biggest organization out there. It's pretty effective. But I worry that things aren't being pushed harder to sort of get the proof out there and make this subject. I mean, people think, UFOs are kind of interesting and spooky, but they don't affect my life.
We've got a break here, Preston. I want to ask you more about that and what progress MUFON has made in 50 years.
Preston Dana, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing it. Then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Preston here. I have had some problems with MUFON of late. I think MUFON has been a little too credulous about accepting claims from people about time travel and presenting stuff like that. But I have seen MUFON for 50 years, as you have, and I don't see the progress. I mean, Are they trying to find out what UFOs are or evangelizing the ETH theory?
I think they're doing the best they can, given the situation where the subject is being actively covered up. You know, I've spoken at many MUFON meetings. I'm a MUFON field investigator. I took their test. I got like 97. Would have gotten a perfect score, except they made a couple of stupid mistakes. It was a hard test, by the way. Lots of questions on all kinds of science stuff. I support MUFON because I know that there's a lot of great people in it. But you're right. It hasn't had a whole lot of great progress. Where's the proof? We've got these kind of blurry photographic cases. We've got a lot of eyewitness evidence. This phenomenon is very elusive. For whatever reason, it's not giving us the proof. It could easily. If ETs wanted to end this cover-up, they could do it right now. But my point is that this is an important subject. This does affect people's lives. If we really do have this technology and we're sitting on it, well, that could cure the economic crisis, the energy crisis, and the environmental crisis in one fell swoop, which is really what's facing us hard right now and is destroying our planet. And that's actually the number one message from ETs when people are taken on board. The most common thing is being physically examined. But if someone gets any messages, they're usually about warnings of ecological disaster, alternative energy, or spirituality in some form, often alternative healing, this sort of thing.
Right, but it's never anything new. And you'd think if they really want us to have the information, that they wouldn't be going about it in this isolated manner. They could simply broadcast it on an open channel to everybody. Why do they keep it secret then?
Well, look at it this way. The UFOs, someone's taken on board, got a very strong medical theme that runs through it. There's all these healing cases. ETs are very interested in the human body. They've got the healing technology. So if we've got the UFOs, then we've got this ET healing technology as well. But I think the ETs know better than to just hand it over, because if they gave it to us, we already have a real problem with our warlike ways and our overpopulation. We're just going to use it to heal soldiers and send them out into the field again, and our population go out of control. It would be abused. That's our pattern with technology. So I think that they're nervous about that and are trying to get us to the point where we can handle it in a spiritual sense, where we're raised up to the point where we can get along with each other and not kill each other and work for the advancement of humanity rather than each other's destruction.
We've heard that message since the movie Day the Earth Stood Still, where E.T. comes down in the form of Klaatu and his robot, policeman Gort, and he exhorts scientists, get your acts together, or we will act in a way that preserves the peace, which is to get basically destroy the Earth or destroy the population. But with the ETs that these people meet, they say we've got to follow peace and brotherhood, but most of the time they contact unknowns who have no influence on anybody. And even then, it doesn't seem that the message goes anywhere. We've heard this message, what, since the early 1950s?
Yep, same message, whether it's, you know, the contactee era or Grays or the praying mantis or all the ETs are giving the same darn message.
This sort of brings up question four from Derek here. When we were talking about MUFON and how these messages get out, and the message is actually seeped into every part of modern culture, he's saying, or asking, maybe somewhat rhetorically, is ufology now, you know, think Tom DeLonge and To the Stars Academy, just another branch of the entertainment business?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's certainly been exploited for that, hasn't it? And a lot of the top-selling movies of all times deal with ETs. Certainly, I think it's something that's going to become pervasive in all aspects of culture. From our video games onward, it's in advertising. It's all over the place. I think when some things happen and humanity has to deal with it, we start using our creativity to sort of absorb it into our culture as best as we can. The ETs are here. Well, then it's definitely going to start affecting people and their art and music and so on. So it doesn't surprise me a bit. I mean, look at the popularity of science fiction. I think that is in part because we're dealing with this real phenomena.
we both agree that we're not dealing with fabrications, misidentifications, and hoaxes. And in all of these cases, there is a residual number that represent actual alien craft here on or near the Earth. And that the powers that be, they know about them. Like, I might not be so quick to say, well, yeah, they actually have one, or they've reverse engineered one, or that they've done as much in the way of analysis of crashed saucers as other people. But I have no doubt in my mind that they know a whole heck of a lot more about what's going on and where they come from than the average person. Let me rephrase that. I think we know, too, that they've got the actual evidence that would be sufficient to prove it to people like Derek, for example, on the forum. Is there ever going to be a day of disclosure?
Well, you know, I started investigating in 1986, and they were like, oh, disclosure is coming like next year. Well, that didn't happen. And every 5 years, that seemed to happen. And it's happening again. You know, right now, I've heard rumors that there's going to be, you know, by 2020, we're all going to know. NASA said a couple of years ago that we think in like 5 years, we'll have proof of extraterrestrial life in our universe. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you guys, you already know.
You and I, we know they know already. And if you and I know, how many other people out there already know they know? So how many, you say, tens of thousands of people who would probably be in the same wavelength as you and I, basically, that they know and that it's real, do we need before we can just say, well, look, let's stop trying to convince people that it's real and move on to the next step?
Well, it's not going to be real until, you know, officialdom at large accepts it as a real phenomena. And it might not be the U.S. It might be, you know, Brazil or Canada, who knows? Might be Chile. Some of these countries have official UFO investigative boards, which are still, you know, active. It might come from somewhere else, but it could domino across the world. It is going to happen, and I think they have to do it because we're at a point now where the evidence is becoming in the public arena. We've got everyone's got cell phones, and the event could easily happen like Phoenix Lights again, or Stevensville, or what happened in Mexico City, or there's these waves of sightings that are continuing. There's a campaign on the ET's part, I think, to sort of do a grassroots movement and let them know, let us know that they're real. As far as disclosure, I can't see it going on another 100 years.
We'll go into this more, because this is a point of view that isn't always accepted. Preston, Dennett, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. A major scientific report has been released by 13 federal agencies on climate change. The report paints an almost doomsday scenario, predicting more catastrophic storms, droughts, and wildfires if immediate steps are not taken to slow or stop global warming. The Trump administration decided to quietly release the report on the world's weather and its effects on things like hurricanes and wildfires, both which have cost this country in particular lives and money. The report says these kind of disasters will get worse.
reporter Eric Rosten of Bloomberg News.
It was written by 300 or so scientists, about half of them employees of the federal government, another half from universities and other research institutions.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, the assumption based on what you're saying is the Major Don Keogh assumption, which is that UFOs are real, UFOs are extraterrestrial, the government knows the facts, they've kept it secret now for 70 years. And we get occasional alleged whistleblowers, but that's about it. What if what's really going on is the government doesn't know what we're being faced with? It's a matter of national security to protect our skies. You know,
right.
There have been some whistleblowers, but we cannot prove that there's anything to disclose. We could say, look at all the sightings and maybe there were crash retrievals and all that. We can't prove there's anything to disclose other than the government wanting to know if there's a security matter involved, and that's it.
You know, the party line is UFOs are not real and they are not a threat to national security, when in fact they are. They are absolutely a threat. I think the military is very concerned about this. From a military standpoint, they have to be if these objects are coming down and hovering over every installation. We have. They hover over prisons, by the way. They're checking out every installation we have. And look at the reports coming out of, you know, some of our missile locations, such as Malmstrom with Robert Salas. Or they're hovering over our nuclear power stations. Indian Head, New York, that power station, very well testified case in which UFOs hovered right over it. So they're clearly interested in it. Our technology, they're monitoring all our launches into space. White Sands, every time they launched a rocket in the 1940s and 50s, these UFOs would show up. They were tracking them on theodolites. China Lake had the same problem. Stephen Greer talked about the case in Seal Beach, where more than 400 employees saw a UFO hovering over the Saturn rocket. But close, watching us very closely, from a military standpoint, that's got to raise huge alarm.
Something is out there. We can't explain what it is. But that doesn't mean the military knows what it is.
I think that the evidence that we've got shows that they know perfectly well. interviewed enough people that we're looking, we can see that these are metallic craft. People have gotten close enough to measure radiation on them. There's all kinds of cases with that. Supposedly these craft have been captured. I mean, there's not just Roswell, certainly. There's the Paradise Valley crash in Arizona.
What you're talking about here is a Paradise Valley, Arizona. I live right 25 minutes from Paradise Valley. When did this happen?
That was back in the 1950s, I believe. I'd have to look it up, 1953 or so. It was one of the first UFO crash retrieval events to be revealed, which was in Frank Scully's book, Behind the Flying Saucers. No researchers would look into this phenomena for years and years. He was really the first, and his book was pretty badly debunked by a lot of researchers, but have later turned around and come back to it. Now it's pretty darn accepted by, I'd say, the majority of researchers that crash retrievals do happen.
Let's go to Aztec, because I dispute that. I interviewed on our After the Paracast show, which is part of the Paracast Plus package, Monty Shriver, professor, engineer, etc., who was retired, a guy in his 80s. He lived in Aztec, New Mexico, in 1948 when this alleged crash occurred. He remembered nothing. There was no contemporaneous knowledge of this. He talked to his friends at a class reunion. As I said, no contemporaneous knowledge that anything crashed there. And I read the two books that Scott Ramsey wrote. Actually, the first book and the second, a slight revision with a larger publisher, a new page, I think. There is no real evidence that anything ever happened there. The only mention at the time was the book by Frank Scully, where he encountered a couple of con men who told him this story, and he wrote about it. But that is an unconfirmed case. I can't see any evidence that it ever happened. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, the Ramsey book did have eyewitness testimonies in it.
Maybe one or two, and mostly people who remembered or were people who couldn't be located or people who remembered someone who remembered someone. I mean, if you talk to people who lived in Aztec, New Mexico in 1948, as Monty Shriver did, because he's from that area, and nobody knows of anything. Nobody knows of anything. If it was like Roswell, whatever Roswell was, a balloon, a spaceship, a test aircraft, whatever Roswell was, people remember something happening. The memories of what happened there are threadbare. The evidence is threadbare. You can't take one or two people recalling something and make a whole story about it. Because who knows what the memories were 30, 40, 50, 60 years later. They might be remembering Roswell, some of it. We don't know. We have basically the one case where they used some kind of tire iron or something to break the glass to see what was inside the craft. What was that?
Yeah, I remember that. He used a pole to reach across it and open it using a lever. That's the Aztec case. You know, a lot of these cases do rest on only a few testimonies. As far as the Paradise Valley case, that broke with Ray Fowler, who's a very well-respected researcher, who interviewed a man who signed an affidavit saying, this is what happened to me. He was taken to this location in a blacked-out bus and told to photograph and study where this craft had hit the ground. It was his job to sort of determine how fast it was going based on the skid marks on the ground. And he
was an accident analysis?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he saw this craft, and it was not one of ours. And he saw the bodies as well. And he was the first witness who, now we know his name. It used to be I believe it's Arthur Stansel now, but it used to be a pseudonym that was put out by Ray Fowler. We now know who it is, a scientist, and there's been other witnesses coming out for this case, but still only a few. The Kecksburg case is another example. We've got a scattering of townspeople there who saw this thing go down, saw the military take something out, but it's substantiated only by eyewitness testimony. A lot of cases like this, though. I did this book on California. There's a number of cases. New York, Nevada, they all have cases involving eyewitness testimonies of UFO crash retrievals.
What I think about all of this is that there's, you know, Gene makes an excellent point about Aztec, and that's a really good show if you get a chance to listen to it, too, by the way, Preston. I think the truth has got to be somewhere in between all of this. In other words, like, Gene, you know, when you say, where's the evidence that they're covering something up? Well, we know because they said there was no evidence, and then people, like I mentioned earlier in the show, would file a Freedom of Information Act request, and they would get documentation that they said didn't exist about UFOs and UFO sightings. So, you know, there's the proof that they are hiding something. It's, we're not getting the actual craft itself, but we're certainly getting proof that they are covering something up. What exactly? That's another story. All of these cases, when you get looking into them, it gets really hard to be entirely sure that you're not dealing with some sort of a story that's been passed along and grown and become like a, you know, a fishtail in some sense of the word. I mean, there's very few that I've run across, including a number that you mentioned, Preston, that don't succeed in planting that seed of doubt in my mind now. Whereas I once used to really think, oh, this is really good. No, because I subscribe to this skeptical side of things as well. Like I read the Sunlight, I look at all of the different cases, and I go, well, you know, you have to take that into account.
We've got to take this into account, folks. More to come with Preston Gene Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, he's becoming one of those people with the cones on his head. He's a conehead. So Randall is not a conehead, ladies and gentlemen. If he was, he'd be very rich now. Although that Conehead TV show didn't do well, it did well as a Saturday Night Live sketch. In any case, Randall's continuing to talk about alleged crash retrievals, and it gets to the same point. How much evidence is there beyond Roswell of any other case that might involve this? Aztec, I think we throw out the window. There's no real evidence brought up there. The others, yeah. I don't know.
I'd have to agree with you on that, Gene. But yet, we still have these fabulous stories. We still have way too many people who've had an experience to say that there's not something there. It's just that every time you go to these high-profile cases and you really want to dig into them, it seems like you always end up like Kevin Randall, where it seems to slip again like sand through your fingers. And you're going, well, we really don't have anything. It's just a story.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I agree with that. I don't think the UFO crash retrieval can be covered up forever. I think the evidence shows that this is happening. We've got enough whistleblowers to say it's widespread. You know, Robert Wood has done a lot of research into this. It's not just these few cases. There's hundreds. Like you say, most are based on just a few eyewitness testimonies, which is real unfortunate. Yeah, it's hard to prove these things when it's being actively covered up. Another good case we haven't mentioned is the Virginia, Brazil case. Here we have a case where a lot of people saw this ET basically walking through town. There's a lot of good evidence that this did really happen. So I don't know. It might not be proof, but to ignore this and say it's not actually going on when we've got all these people saying that this happened to them, that would be a huge mistake.
Okay, of course, the case in Brazil. The case in Brazil is interesting and certainly something we should cover further. We had A.J. Gervaird, one of the top UFO researchers in Brazil, on the Paracast a couple of times, and we talked about it. I'd like to do it again and get kind of an update. Yes, I agree. That's a case that should be explored further.
Yeah, I think there's a number of them. You know, this is a worldwide phenomena. I know England has cases like this, Russia, a lot of countries do. I think I'm guessing that there's sort of a higher level cooperation on who's ever controlling this phenomena. I do think it's tightly controlled. But I'm convinced at this point that we do have these craft, and it's Roswell is a good case, certainly. And it's, New Mexico has, gosh, when I did a book on it, like 5 or 10 crash retrieval cases. California had a good number of them. All these states have these stories. And, yeah, it's part of this phenomenon. It's only started to be investigated in a serious way. that from investigators, but with our own government military controlling it, our hands are really tied in a lot of ways.
I think Friedman would certainly agree that they've got something. Maybe not to the same extent that you're suggesting, but he's written a couple of good books about that, and you know he's very convinced that they have something in terms of material evidence. I'm not sure how good a shape it must be in, and I'm not really convinced that they've done any back engineering that has worked, but they certainly must know more than we do. When I first heard about you, you were talking about, and this was my introduction to you. You were talking about undersea UFO bases and sightings that were going on off the coast of California. And I'd really like to review some of those, if you could talk a little bit about some of those.
Yeah, I started investigating that in the very beginning. I got cases, a lot of activity off this one stretch of coastline, which was about Santa Barbara at the north end, going down 25, 50 miles, a little more even to, say, San Clemente, sort of the stretch of water between Catalina Island and the mainland, the Santa Catalina Channel, the San Pedro Channel, this area. I found cases from the 1920s to basically the present day in this one sharply defined area. And started at some point, I'm like, this is really bizarre. I found out all the other researchers already knew about this. Ann Druffel, back in the 1970s, she's like, this area is a huge hotspot. We should put this on constant observation. Bill Hamilton got a bunch of cases here. Yvonne Smith, Robert Stanley, all the researchers have known about this for years. So I started documenting all these cases, and to date I've documented about 150 of these objects above the water or going in and out of the water. So there is no area I know of really on our planet, certainly not in the United States, anywhere on our coastlines, that has this level of activity. Gosh, mile for mile, it's got to be one of the most active USO areas on our planet. My question is why? That was sort of the first data point pointing towards, could there be an undersea base here? Why is there so much activity in such a sharply defined area over such a long period of time?
Can you go over a couple of the better cases for us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A great case occurred in 1956, Redondo Beach. A bunch of people saw this object glide out of the sky and land right in the water there, a couple hundred yards off. Huge orange glowing disc. Lifeguards came to watch it. Police from two local communities were watching this, Hermosa Beach and Redondo Beach. A night watchman, a bunch of people gathered. There was, you know, a group of 20 or more people watched this thing sink beneath the water. It was glowing there. The lifeguards, you know, which were Navy men, sent out a boat and hovered over this thing in the water and could see that, it was about 20 feet across. And then it just went dark. The next morning, they sent out Navy divers with Geiger counters. Couldn't find it. Didn't find anything after that. But following this incident, it received a lot of publicity, and they said the Coast Guard released an explanation that what people saw was actually a buoy, a light buoy, a buoy with a light on it. And they showed a picture of it. It was about a foot across. I'm like, this is what people saw. And
Right.
I mean, the local investigators, Jim and Coral Lorenzen and a couple of other pioneering guys said, no, I mean, there's no way. People said it was 20 feet across. You know, this came out of the sky, don't forget. So this is sort of a pattern we've seen in this particular area. But I've got cases where these objects target boats. A really interesting case occurred in the 1980s with an electronics engineer on the sort of northern edge of all this activity. He's heading out one night. It's a foggy night. And he sees this green glow ahead of him. And he stops his boat because he can't tell what this thing is. It's got no normal navigation lights on it. And realizes it's coming for him, and it's underwater. And it goes right under his boat. His depth sounder says it's about 100 feet below him before all his electronics completely fail. His compasses are both spinning, and one spins so quickly it falls off its moorings. and is broken. He's getting really nervous at this point because this thing is large. It's way bigger than his boat, a couple of hundred feet across at least. And finally, it just moves off. And his electronics go back on, and he's on his way. But a number of cases just like that. One guy was on off the coast of Catalina Island when suddenly right under his boat, it lights up, he said, like a swimming pool, this sort of square of light. Completely freaked him out, and then it went off. Something is going on down there. And what I find really interesting, actually, is I've got four cases there which involve not 10 or 20 objects, closer to 50, 100, or 200 of these objects coming up from below, not from above. And how do you explain that? I mean, if they're... This type of case is pretty rare. There's a case in New Mexico, the Farmington incident, involving hundreds of objects. There's a few here and there. The area has three or four of them. And that makes me think, God, you know, there must be a parking lot down there if there's not some sort of base.
I wonder if some of them, just as thought here, might be explained by, you know, how you said you saw the earth lights with the earthquake. Well, I imagine that must take place out in the ocean, on the ocean floor as well. I wonder if there could be some kind of tectonic energy release out there that could produce a phenomena that people might confuse or as is with a craft of some kind because it's, you know, it was too far away to determine exactly what it was.
Let's do our break here, and we'll get into more about undersea UFOs. A real interesting phenomenon, and even if we disagree about the crash retrieval evidence and other stuff, this is really interesting. Preston Dennett, author of 22 books on the paranormal. Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.